Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. We continue to look at the political and humanitarian crisis in Myanmar through the lens of diplomatic efforts at this weekend's ASEAN Special Summit. Debbie Stoddard is the founder of the Democracy Advocacy Group, Alternative ASEAN Network on Burma. Debbie, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Now, I'm wondering what do you think democratic forces and the Myanmar public, most of whom voted for the ousted NLD government, what do you think they would want from this ASEAN leaders meeting? More generally ASEAN, but more specifically tomorrow's ASEAN leaders meeting.
I think it's pretty clear, resoundingly, that they want the National Unity Government, which represents 76% of elected MPs and ethnic organizations, to be recognized and invited to the dialogue table. Senior General Min Aung Hlaing heads an illegal junta, even illegal under his own the military constitution of the country.
Debbie, do you think that there is some benefit from having Min Aung Hlaing in Indonesia for the meeting, that it will pave the way for some sort of confidence building and perhaps allow ASEAN to leverage whatever it has to push Myanmar back onto a kind of democratic trajectory?
Let's be frank about this. When the Indonesian foreign minister and the Thai foreign minister met with the illegal junta's representatives in Bangkok 2 months ago, they basically said to their emissary, please don't be violent. And how the junta responded was by escalating the violence 2 days later. On March the 27th, during the Armed Forces Day, 3 ASEAN countries, including Thailand, sent the defense attaches to pay respects at the festivities of the armed forces, the Tatmadaw. And the next day, the armed forces of the military junta launched airstrikes on the Thai border. In fact, yesterday, the Burmese military fired upon the Thai border security forces. So we know very well that this junta does not have much respect for ASEAN. What ASEAN needs to do is it needs to show it's serious by inviting the NUG, the National Unity Government, to the table, and also inviting the UN Security Council to get involved.
Well, what else can ASEAN do, Debbie? I'm just wondering, coming up from the leaders' meeting tomorrow, what would you like to see in terms of concrete action? If you say that the junta has no respect for ASEAN, what else can ASEAN do short of suspending Myanmar's membership to the bloc?
Well, suspension is a very good idea. They should put that on the table and tell Min Aung Hlaing, if you don't halt the violence, we will suspend your membership. But just as importantly, they should be involved. They should be actually extending. ASEAN should be asking for a partnership with the UN Security Council to work jointly on handling the Myanmar crisis. Otherwise, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has already warned that Myanmar could very easily deteriorate into a Syria-type situation, which is not something that ASEAN can afford.
Debbie, we've been down this road once before. 20 years ago, ASEAN was dealing with the military government and worked with it in order to nudge it onto a path towards democracy. Is that still available in terms of the scenarios? Is the situation now akin to what it was before the kind of democratic breakthrough that they had less than 10 years ago?
Look, we now have 3,000. Okay, so now we have 3,370 political detainees and another 1,000 people being hunted down by this military. The last time we had 3,000 political prisoners in Myanmar was in 1991, 30 years ago. We're talking about a scenario not 20 years ago, but 30 years ago. And this is why when we see every time there has been a step forward secured by ASEAN, ASEAN has done it with the backing of key dialogue partners like the Security Council, like the US government, etc. ASEAN cannot do this alone.
Debbie, you mentioned that you're concerned the situation in Myanmar could deteriorate to a Syria-type situation. Could you explain what you mean by that? And I'm just wondering whether you've seen a change in the attitudes of the military, whether it's, you know, whether it's hardening, because resistance to the coup has continued, yes?
Resistance to the coup has continued on a daily basis. And what we have seen, instead of massive rallies, is lightning strikes, in order to avoid, evade security forces all around the country, but also in places like Tamu and Calais in Sagaing Division near the India border, it's been a war zone because local farmers are using muskets and slingshots to resist the military, which is using rocket-propelled grenades and machine guns, but they're still fighting it out. What we've seen in these past few weeks is the simmering civil wars happening along the border areas has now been escalated to a nationwide civil war by military aggression. This is very serious. The military is being more aggressive because it has lost control of the country, the civil administration, and the economy. They are using violence to try and suppress all of this and regain control, and they are not actually succeeding. And this is why ASEAN needs to step in with some muscle, with some resolve, instead of saying, oh, please don't be violent, it's not nice. That is no longer viable. ASEAN needs to be forceful, it needs to bring all parties to the table, and it needs to take a very strong human rights principles on this.
Debbie, do you think the international context today favors a swift resolution to the problem? You know, the new Biden administration, China's seeming ambivalence towards the coup, but then again, you have Russia's interest in the region kind of emerging strangely, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and then of course India's relative silence. How do all these things play into the current situation? Does it lead for a call for optimism or pessimism?
Well, ASEAN should have had this summit 2 months ago on February the 24th, not April the 24th, first thing. Second thing, China has actually engaged in dialogue with the National Unity Government, and ASEAN has not even done that. China hasn't been ambivalent about the coup because they understand that stability is important to their economic and political interests. ASEAN seems to have fallen down on that sense. They have not taken this crisis seriously, and they're waking up a little bit late at this point. So ASEAN needs to come in hard and firm on Myint Aung Lyng and actually put the idea of ASEAN's membership suspension on the table. They need to bring in the Security Council, and they need to start a dialogue with the National Unity Government, which is the legal government.
Debbie, thank you for speaking with us tonight. We really appreciate you spending time and sharing your insights. We appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to take another quick break, but there's still so much more to unpack on this issue, so stay tuned to consider this.